Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's the Conference USA Report Podcast, Episode 5, and we're going to talk about this big weekend in the league. Louisiana Tech, ladies and gentlemen, they got the juice now, right? Y'all remember that movie, Juice. Tech went to Denton, beat the best team in the league, and, you know, I before we continue on, I still think you can make the argument that North Texas is the best team in the league. But potential doesn't mean anything, right? You got to go out there and you got to win the games. And North Texas didn't win. Louisiana Tech went on the road, beat the number one team by power ranking. We'll see what everybody else ranks North Texas this week. I have a feeling that Tech's going to be number one with a bullet after that win. And rightfully so. Deservedly so. Jamar Smith played well. The entire Tech defense. The whole game was entertaining. And we're going to talk to Corey Diaz of the Monroe News Star in a second. We recorded his reaction on Sunday, and we're recording this podcast today, Monday, for various reasons. Conference USA Report went to Denton to see the game live and in person, and it did not disappoint. It was entertaining. We got a little bit of taste of everything that we thought we'd see, right? That explosive North Texas offense. Hey, 21 straight points in the first quarter. Mason Fine led his team down the field quickly in efficiency. That amazing defense, defensive talent from La Tech, right? Jalen Ferguson, 4 sacks on the day, made a difference. Amik Robertson ended up getting the block kick. You know, big players making big plays. It was entertaining. The atmosphere was incredible. 30,105, I believe, was the total. That's a North Texas record, they said. And that's the thing. I think the Louisiana Tech AD, and he might have been just being gracious here, but he said that was one of the best atmospheres he's seen in Conference USA. And, you know, I think you maybe have a tendency, if you're one of the league's other 13 members, and say, hey, well, game day at, you know, our place is pretty good. That's not really what he's saying. I mean, I think you take it as, hey, Conference USA has really entertaining, a really quality venue. It wasn't, you know, that many years ago that North Texas games were getting, you know, maybe 10,000 people, and they were being generous there. That's the case all around the league. If anybody's terrible, nobody wants to go to it. If the teams are good, you get better attendance. It's a fact of life. It's not really surprising or anything like that. But we want the league's best teams playing games in incredible atmospheres, putting on a show for the, I guess, one of the only over-the-air, I mean, not over-the-air, but like cable viewing options. There's beIN Sport, there's CBS Sports Network. If you're going to have those game of the weeks, right, you want it to be entertaining, you want it to be fun, you want them to feel like, hey, we can sell this, right? That's only good for the league. And, 30,105, a good portion of those came away a little disappointed, but it was a big day for Conference USA, and it was a fun day for Conference USA. Louisiana Tech, hey, best team in the league. I got to say, this was not really a surprise. And if you have been reading Conference USA Report, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that I've said that Tech was picked to win this division, right? They're the betting favorites for a reason. They have talent top to bottom. Jamar Smith has his issues, and a lot of quarterbacks do, right? A lot of quarterbacks at this level, and even in college football, have issues. But this particular quarterback, he's not always going to be the most efficient guy, right? He's not going to complete 70% of his passes. But he has enough of an arm, enough of a presence, enough of poise to get the ball out to his playmakers and make plays. And that's really the name of the game. And he did that. Tech's receivers are amazing. Rashid Bonnet, he just gifted North Texas cornerback Cam Johnson for always and forever there with that over-the-back leap and grab. I think that took the air out of the North Texas defense a little bit. That was an incredible play. And if you recall some of the previews that maybe I wrote, said as much that, hey, Tech's going to be able to throw the ball because they have receivers that can go make plays. They were helped by the fact that Keymon Hall North Texas' number one cornerback, was injured, and he tried to make a couple comebacks, but he was in there for like a play. I noticed Tech didn't really notice it at first, and then they started picking on the replacement corner, Cam Johnson. A nice little you know, chess match between the coaching staffs. It was crazy. It was 26-21 at half, and then in the second half, there were only, what, like 12 points scored? Is that right? Final score, 29-27, an incredible game. I think we saw a little bit of offense, a lot of defense, and some terrible special teams. There was some drama, at the very least. And it's a little, is it poetic justice, right? I guess. Tech last season had some struggles with these one-possession games. They had some bad luck in these final field goal attempts. The North Texas game in Ruston last season was, you know, pretty, it was basically the opposite of this game, right? It was like their offense couldn't do anything. They kind of felt frustrated. It seemed like North Texas got all the breaks, and then, you know, obviously the missed field goal at the end sealed things. Here, Tech didn't turn the ball over. No turnovers on the road. That's the way you do it. North Texas turned the ball over twice, and although they were, it was kind of like the same possession or whatever, they're important because that flips the field. I saw some North Texas fans saying, well, you know, that turnover by DeAndre Torrey at the end of the first half didn't really, it didn't lead to points, so it doesn't really matter. North Texas was on the in La Tech territory, fumbled the ball, Tech punts the ball, muffed the punt, that's a touchdown. Flipped the field, Tech got all the way down to the 5, scored a touchdown. The winning points, basically. It was there was a lot of interesting things here. I don't know that Tech can make it out of this division unscathed. I think they're going to probably lose a game. But that still might be enough to win the division, because I don't know that they're losing two games. And I think maybe North Texas could drop another. I think the at UAB and then taking on Southern Miss is going to be a big one. Not to mention Florida Atlantic. So, you know, hey, your standings after week 5 have 4 1-0 teams, and they include La Tech. And they are my favorite to win this division. But, I mean, you really never know. I you want to know how terrible I am at predictions. I think in my week 5 preview, when I do the picks and things, I had FAU just blowing out Middle Tennessee. That did not happen, did it? Before we continue with the rest of the podcast, how about we get a cup of coffee? And hey, if you're in Hattiesburg and you have about half hour, maybe 45 minutes, and you need a coffee break, why don't you drive on up to Laurel, Mississippi and get you some coffee at Lee's Coffee and Tea. Mention Conference USA Report, you get a discount. Shout out to Dell Smith, owner and friend of Lee's Coffee and Tea, and you know, for sponsoring the show. We really appreciate it. Now let's get back to talking football. All right. Again, we're here with Corey Diaz from the, is it the, what newspaper do you write for again?
Man, it's kind of complicated. I write for the Monroe News Star, yes. But, you know, my stuff also runs in the Shreveport Times. I'm really, I guess the shorter answer is I just, you know, I cover Louisiana Tech for the USA Today Network because my stuff runs in multiple newspapers,
yeah,
if that makes
sense. We find you everywhere, is what you're saying. Yeah, I think that was a brag.
Yeah.
Okay, so tough game, exciting game. Ultimately, the Bulldogs come out with the victory. And, I mean, at least for me, that was an entertaining game. And that was what we want out of the best game of the week, or the game of the week, even though there was like news all over Conference USA. What did you make of that win? How important is it for the Bulldogs going forward?
Oh, it's, you know, it's massive. You know, obviously we all know in the preseason, you know, North Texas was picked to, you know, repeat as Conference USA West Division champions, and Louisiana Tech was, you know, picked to finish second. You know, and I think coming into this week, you know, that's where I had, you know, those two teams slated. You know, if you were to have me rank the, you know, the West Division teams, I would have had North Texas 1 and Louisiana Tech 2. I think the body of work that both teams had put out there, you know, Tech playing three games coming in and North Texas playing the four that they did. You know, I think the product that both teams have put on the field, you know, that's where they were. You know, I thought North Texas was, you know, the top team in the West, and I thought Tech was the second. And you know, like you said, you know, both teams gave us the type of game that you would expect for, you know, two of the top teams in a division when they match up and play each other. You know, it comes down to the wire, of course. And you know, like any coach would tell you, you know, usually a game is decided by, you know, one or two key plays. And you know, fortunately for Louisiana Tech, they made those one or two key plays. Obviously, you know, with their defense, you know, they made a couple of defensive stops there late in the game to give them the win and propel them, you know, obviously to the top of the division at this point. I know we're only one game into the conference slate, but you have to imagine with how they've been playing, especially, you know, you go back to last week down in Baton Rouge against LSU, being down 24 points early, clawing back into that game to get within three and actually got the ball back a couple of times there in the fourth quarter and had a chance to go down and either tie the game or take the lead. Couldn't quite make that, you know, that one play that they needed to make offensively. But you got to think coming off that LSU game and then obviously coming off of this big North Texas went on the road, they've got to be favored to, you know, to capture that West Division crown now.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's all about the West Division crown and then later on the conference championship game. I mean, that's what you can control. I don't know how many serious thoughts are put into, you know, like a Power 7 or a playoff bowl bid or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what any of these teams really think. I mean, certainly probably like FAU had some aspirations if they could have upset Oklahoma and UCF later on. But as it stands right now, everybody's playing for the one thing available, which is the conference championship game. This definitely puts them in the driver's seat, right? Can you see a loss on the rest of their schedule there? Anything obvious stand out to you?
Well, in conference, you know, obviously I think, you know, the Friday before Halloween, traveling down to Boca Raton and having to play, you know, the Lane Train and the Owls down there in their place, you know, that could be a place where, you know, Louisiana Tech could trip up. I mean, and if you take the rest of their whole schedule into play, I mean, obviously a trip to Starkville, that's going to be a tall order for Louisiana yeah. Tech to go in and beat a Mississippi State team. So, but you know, they get UAB at their place, this coming weekend. Now, you know, if the schedule were reversed and if UAB would have came to Tech last year and Tech would have had to go on the road to Birmingham and play UAB at their place, as we've seen, since the resurrection of the Blazer football program, they just, you know, they love their friendly confines and they don't lose very many ball games at home, you know. So I think the luck of the schedule really favors, you know, Louisiana Tech the rest of this way. Again, like I said, outside of that trip to FAU, you know, I could see this team going 7-1 Conference USA play. You know, another game that could get tricky late in the year, you know, a trip to San Antonio, you know, crazy things happen in the Alamo Dome, as we all know. But, you know, I think if Tech plays the way that they've been playing, they shouldn't have any trouble with UTSA.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I don't know what you think of Jamar Smith. I've been, you know, bullish on him. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good quarterback. And I think he brings like a different dimension because you look at his numbers, right? 20 of 39, 230 yards, two touchdowns. I think maybe, you know, that doesn't look like winning football, especially in 2018. You're like, I mean, you know, you gotta throw for 300, right, to beat North Texas. But I thought he did enough, and he made timely throws. What was your take on Jamar Smith's play?
Oh, he's playing his best football of his career right now. You know, like you said, you know, completing just a shade over, you know, half of his passes last night and going for 230. You're right. I think a lot of people would have seen that on paper. And if they didn't have the final score in front of them, they probably would have said, oh, North Texas probably won this game by a couple of touchdowns. But, you know, what he's been doing, especially the last three games, is he's been taking care of the football. And that's a big part of playing the quarterback position, you know, especially on the FBS level, is you got to be able to take care of the football. And in his last three games, you know, he's, I think he's thrown for 940 yards, and he has, I believe, six touchdowns and only one interception. And that one interception came in Baton Rouge, and it was actually a ball that his receiver should have caught. You know, that interception should have never happened, but it, you know, hits the shoulder pads, and the ball, you know, takes a crazy bounce up in the air, and it hits an offensive lineman in the chest, and then it bounces up again, and an LSU defensive back comes down with it. So, I think what we're seeing is that we're finally seeing the progress that Skip, you know, talked about over the course of the offseason and during fall camp, you know, the type of mental progression that he had seen from his quarterback. I think we're finally seeing that flushing out into his play. And, you know, especially when you go on the road in conference, you got to take care of the ball. You got to put your team in the best possible spot to, you know, have success on key third down plays, as you had mentioned. You know, made a couple of timely throws there, you know, in the first half when Tech was trailing, I believe it was 14-6 at one point, and then it was 21-6. And, you know, it was kind of like almost the same script as the week before down at LSU. You know, you get down kind of big early and it looks bleak, you know, but he was able to make throws to get his team back in the game. And you also have to credit, especially last night, you've got to credit the just the types of plays that, you know, the Rashid Bonnets and the Teddy Veals and the Adrian Hardys made for him. I mean, that one play where, you know, Bonnet jumps over a North Texas defender and makes a play and gets the ball down the red zone for Tech. I mean, those really hadn't been plays that we've seen from Tech receivers so far in the early going. So maybe that's going to help them if they can continue that type of, you know, those types of plays and making those types of catches as Tech tries to, you know, make that run at the division crown.
Well, I think, was it last week that it was Rashid Bonnet was the intended target that sparked the whole crazy interception? Was he the one that kind of bounced it off his shoulder? You made up for it, is my point, by doing an amazing
catch. He was the one that, you know, that had the ball. You know, it went right through his hands and it hit him in the shoulder pad and it popped up. You know, he had a, I think if you were to ask him after that LSU game, he probably had a night that he would like to forget. And he made sure that himself, his quarterback, Jamar Smith, his offensive coordinator, Todd Fitch, and obviously Skip that calls plays too. I think the types of plays that he made, you know, last night in Denton, I think that sort of erases, you know, those few drop balls as he's had over the, really ever since the, you know, the opening game down in South Alabama. I think all the receivers, you know, that's kind of what's plagued them so far, is, you know, just Jamar making quick reads and making quick throws and his receivers just not making the plays at that point. But, you know, they seem to have been in sync and they've seemed to, you know, sort of turned a corner, as we saw last night.
Yeah. This is just a great win. I mean, to go on the road, and I think North Texas won 9 straight at Apogee Stadium. You know, the Denton crowd showed out. There was 30,105, which is a program record. Like, just about the toughest environment that you could set up. You know, you knew everybody's going to be excited. And I don't think it can be overstated how big a win this was for Tech. In the driver's seat for Conference USA West, which is exactly where Skip wanted them to be. And I think the way they won, you know, like last year, Skip Holtz was talking a lot about the like one possession performances. I mean, so he's talked to you about that, right? The like how they wanted to improve that. Did they do anything in the offseason to? I don't know how you can improve one possession games, but.
Well, I mean, I think like we said at the jump, you know, games are always decided by, you know, one or two key plays. And I believe it was either five or six games last year that they had lost, you know, 7 points or less, you know. And I mean, if you think about it, you know, if you lose a game by 6 points, I mean, that's one touchdown pass or that's one, you know, rushing touchdown, or that's one, you know, interception return for a touchdown or even a return, you know, in special teams. I mean, you're legitimately and realistically one play away from either tying the game or taking the lead. And so, you know, for them to go on the road in the season opener and to, you know, Teddy, I believe it was Teddy Veal that jumped up and swatted an onside kick out of bounds to preserve a 4-point win, you know, at South Alabama. And then, you know, obviously their second game that's been decided by one possession this year was obviously last night. And, you know, you get Amik Robertson rushing off the edge and blocking a field goal that, you know, that would have ultimately more than likely gave North Texas a win. I know there would have been, you know, a little less than about 45 seconds to go. I mean, that's obviously enough time for an offense to go down and either get in field goal range and try to kick a game winning field goal or anything like that. But, yeah, so, you know, you got a 4-point win, you got a 2-point win, both of them on the road. So in games decided by one possession or less, at this point in the season, they're 2-0. That's a lot better record than what they had last year, which I believe was 0-6. So those are the types of games, those are the types of performances that, you know, teams got to have if they have aspirations to win conference championships, to win their division in their conference, and you know, ultimately get to a, you know, bowl game at the end of the year. So, yeah, these are the games that they got to win. Sometimes you got to win it on the last play or with an exciting play like that. And so far, you know, Tech's risen to the occasion in those moments, and they've seized them so far.
Thanks. That's Corey Diaz. Again, we can find you on the USA Today Network, which is a lot of places. I usually find you via the Monroe New Star, I think. But thanks again, man. Thanks for jumping on the show. Appreciate it.
Adam, appreciate you, man. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks again to Corey Diaz. You can find his work all over. He's good. He's good, guys. We wouldn't have him on the show if he wasn't good. Let's talk about the rest of the league. Hey, there was lots of drama all over the rest of the league. I had obviously an eye on the North Texas Louisiana Tech game, and you know, I was peeking over at some of the scores. I saw some surprising things, maybe not some not so surprising things. I had UTEP getting a sneaky win against UTSA, and it looked like UTSA was, you know, jumping out to a win there until it looked like they didn't. And you know, like UTEP kind of gave them a game. I don't know that UTEP really has another win in them or even something close, but that one finished 21-30. UTSA, hey, they're 1-0. You know, for all the anything you want to say about them, the West standings look like this: Tech, UAB, Southern Miss, UTSA, all 1-0. North Texas, Rice, UTEP, all 0-1. Funny how life works. East Division, Marshall, 1-0. FIU, 1-0. Middle Tennessee, 1-0. Charlotte, 1-1. They got their win over Old Dominion, and I can't see another one coming, guys. Western Kentucky, 0-1. Old Dominion, 0-2. Even though Old Dominion had a nice back-to-back week here. They played East Carolina, and that was a fun game. I was watching that as I was traveling. And, you know, they came up short. Obviously, you know, you're not excited about losing games. But, I mean, I don't know that you could play a better game the way they did. There was some controversy there that would have given them the win if the interception counted. But I think you take some good out of this. Like, you're probably not going to win this game anyway, right? It's not on your, like, winnable games. And we talked with Ed Miller last week about this. Yeah, you need some more steals on the schedule to make a bowl game. But right now, you're just trying to climb out to sell. You just want to play better. And, you know, beating Virginia Tech went a long way towards making everybody feel better. Giving East Carolina a game, scoring 35 points in this one, right? You feel real good. You feel real good about where the offense is. Maybe you want the defense to play a little bit better, but right now you're in a lot better spot than you were a couple weeks ago after the Charlotte loss. And, well, winning the East Division is probably just, you know, a bridge too far. I think salvaging a nice little season is well within, you know, the realm of possibility here. And that probably means, you know, like, 3 or 4 wins or something like that. But if you keep playing the way you were playing this way, right, 49 points 2 weeks ago, 35 this last week on the road, I mean, I still don't think that you beat Florida Atlantic, but I think you're a little bit more confident that you're going to give them a game. You maybe can do the same thing against Marshall because there are question marks about their ability to score. You know, Western Kentucky is a very winnable game, and even though Middle Tennessee beat FAU this last week, they still have giant question marks. North Texas, you get them at home. You can see how they can get beat. They had some injuries there. Does that carry over? Are they the same team anymore? I don't know. And if you're out there and you got Blake LaRusso just slinging the ball around, you know, amazingly all of a sudden, hey, you can win those games. And, you know, three or four little wins, you know, with the Virginia Tech feather in your cap, I think you can feel good about that season. It is a salvaged season. Let's talk a little bit more about that Florida Atlantic, Middle Tennessee game. 25-24 was the final. Middle Tennessee drives, gets the game tying touchdown, decides to go for it, and gets it and wins it. A gutsy call, but I think that's playing to win. And I think that, I mean, if you lose there, you know, everybody's complaining or something like that. But, I mean, you really needed something. And you're playing a team like FAU that were picked to beat you. And, you know, handed you a bad loss last season. And your season's not looking so great thus far, you know. This is the time to do it. You're staring, you know, overtime in the face there. You never know what's going to happen. FAU has a good running back. Win the game. You got a quarterback. You can get 2 yards. You can get one play. Go win the game. And I totally respect that decision. And I know Stock still has been getting some a little heat, right, for the underperformance in Middle Tennessee last couple of seasons. But that was a great win. It was great to see some coaches not afraid to lose. I was calling the Tech North Texas game. I said it reminded me a lot of the UTSA North Texas game last season, where North Texas comes out real hot, and then NFL bound defensive end gets in there and causes some sacks and wreaks some havoc. The road team comes in, and then finally North Texas has a game winning drive to win the thing. And, you know, it was basically that, except there was a block kick, right? Well, I thought about Tech not going for it on 4th-and-1. And, yeah, that was just, like, right backed up on the end zone. It's probably not ideal. But if they get that out in midfield, I wonder if Skip Holtz goes for it. Last season, Frank Wilson didn't go for it. I think they had short yardage, and they had a decent run game all day that time. And I thought, you're really going to give Mason Fine and this offense another chance? And, yeah, the odds are against him, you know, but Mason Fine goes down and wins the game. I think maybe they were saying, hey, let's put it in the hands of our defense because we got a quality defensive player and whatever. But football is about scoring. You can only score when you have the ball in your hand, right? That's when you can really control things. Any other time, the ball's out, it's not in your hands. It's outside of your control. And you know, I thought that Frank Wilson made a mistake then, and I think that Stock still made a hell of a call, and he made the right decision. You have the ball. You just need 2 yards. This is football, right? Go out there, win the game, get 2 yards. You can do it. That's how, you know, that's the difference between, you know, guys maybe have been around 17 seasons and guys that maybe won't be. It was a great call. Great win by Middle Tennessee. That's going to put them, well, I already said they're 1-0, but they're 2-2 on the season, right? Yeah, 2-2 on the season. And then they got a big game. We got a big game coming up, Middle Tennessee Marshall. All of a sudden, that one kind of matters. I think we all kind of expected FAU to be number one right now, and then this game just to be like, well, you know, who's going to compete for second? But this is for first place here. Marshall, Middle Tennessee, competing for first place. Yes, it's early. Yes, there's lots of football to be played. But this is a make-or-break game. It's Friday. It's on CBS Sports Network. It's at 6:30. Game of the week, yeah. We're going to have 2 games of the week. Middle Tennessee Marshall, that one's on Friday. Saturday, UAB at Louisiana Tech. That's also for first place. I think Southern Miss fans were telling me, not really. I mean, you know, we're playing, or we're right there. Yeah, you know. I think Southern Miss looks real good, but they're not playing. So this is for first place. The winner will be 2-0 in the division, really controlling the fate here. UAB looked good. 28-7 winners over Charlotte. There's not really much to say there. They kind of handled their business. I thought maybe they could have scored a little bit more, but, you know, 28-7, that's, you know, just handling things. That's real good by them. We expected that Charlotte wasn't gonna jump up and bite them. This time, they were ready for that. But just quick preview of this UAB Tech game. I think that Tech still has some holes in their game. I thought North Texas ran a little too easily on them in the first quarter and even late in the fourth quarter. You could maybe make the argument that if Lauren Easley wasn't injured, he would have stayed in and did a little bit more damage, maybe got that first down that would allow North Texas to run the clock out and get a little closer. I think UAB's run game is good, and I think they will be able to control the clock and kind of do what Tech did to North Texas. North Texas was like sitting on the sideline for most of the second quarter, only 3 minutes time of possession. That was a lot thanks to Tech's 18-play drive, and then their subsequent 8-play drive really dominated. 11 minutes, 41 seconds in the second quarter, took North Texas out of rhythm. And, you know, obviously the defense stepped up also. But I think UAB has the ability to do the same kind of thing to Louisiana Tech and Jamar Smith. And, I mean, yeah, there's talent on Tech, and they can get down there and score in a hurry. But then you have to say, hey, you got 5 field goals. Some of those could have been scores. And, you know, yeah, you did enough to win. You know, you scored every time, and that's huge against North Texas. But it's a different game. Yes, it's at home. But, you know, home didn't really do too much for North Texas either, did it? I think this is a close one. I think you got to give Tech the advantage simply because they're at home. And, you know, I think they're a better team top to bottom. They got more talent top to bottom. But I don't think UAB is that far off. They got a good team also, and, you know, a lot of people were sleeping on them last season. I think everybody knows that they're real good this time. They got a bad loss out of their system already, and I think they're going to be ready for Tech. This is going to be fun. Now, that one's on ESPN Plus, unfortunately. You kind of like that on, like, a ESPN3, maybe even a BN Sport. The BN Sports game is going to be North Texas at UTEP, and I think we all kind of expect North Texas to just go to El Paso and take out all their frustrations on a very inept UTEP team. Again, the Miners, they blew their chance at getting a win over UTSA there in this last one. That one I don't think it was interesting to watch or too much amazing happened. I think it was a kind of back and forth and a couple bad offenses again. How about Marshall beating Western Kentucky? That was a little bit closer than I thought it was going to be, which makes me question Marshall. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, don't you can't question Marshall. We're so good. I still have questions about that offense. And from what I recall, Isaiah Green didn't play so well. I mean, you like his numbers on the face of it, right? 288 and 2 touchdowns. That's great. But 3 interceptions and 18 of 39. Really, Tyree Brady, 8 grabs, 162 yards, 2 scores. He was the star of the show. Meanwhile, Duncan, the Western Kentucky kid, quarterback over there, Stephen Duncan is his name. 24-39, 263, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Still some struggles for the Western Kentucky offense. Remember when they were good and they could just score anytime they wanted? You remember that a couple years ago? Only 324 yards for Western Kentucky. And yes, Marshall has a good defense, but still, I mean, did anybody think Western Kentucky was going to do this great against them? No, we didn't think so. And lo and behold, it came to pass. Only 1.9 yards per rush for Western Kentucky, which hasn't had a run game ever since, Stansbury's been there. Marshall gets a win. I thought it should have been, you know, by more, but, you know, they're always going to be excited about this kind of win, this little rivalry here. So 20-17 gets the job done. 1-0 in conference, hosting Middle Tennessee. That's a good spot to be in, with everything set up, for the rest of their schedule there. I know Marshall was like betting favorites to be second in the East Division. I think a lot of that just had to do with like the question marks surrounding everybody else, right? And I mean, because I think Tech's better than Marshall. I think Southern Miss is probably the equal of Marshall, maybe even better. UAB's a little bit better than Marshall, I think. And then North Texas is also, but that's just personally how I rank them. But I mean, Marshall's going to win that division if things continue this way, right? How do we feel about FAU right now? Are we chalking that up to a lot of just taking a step back, or is this just a natural evolution in what happens when you lose, you know, a couple coordinators, your quarterback, and the center of your line? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know what to think about Lane Kiffin and the Owls right now. I keep expecting them to turn it on, and they didn't. This is on the road, so maybe there's a little bit of that. But they played so well on the road last season. Just some clutch wins against Western Kentucky and then the one against Marshall. They had something for every moment, and they're lacking that right now. And, I mean, it could be as simple as pointing to the freshman quarterback and saying, well, hey, look, a freshman quarterback will do that to you. And that's probably the answer. That's probably it. UTSA plays Rice. That's coming up. Rice, that intelligent brutality. I feel like they're gonna win this one. I've been looking at this one as a win for Rice since preseason, just because again I had question marks about UTSA, and this one's on the road. You know, they don't have the friendly confines of the Alamo Dome there to support them, and you know Rice has a good running game. They had a week to prep, they had a week to rest and get right. I forget the kid. Is it Ellerby that's just balling out right now? Or is it Walker, the running back for Rice right now? Did I say Walker? I meant Walter. It's what? Well, I mean, I think both of them are doing good, right? Asukpa is doing good. And then so is Walter. They're just like a thunder and lightning kind of thing. But I think I want to say is it Austin Walter? He has like a ridiculous yards per carry right now. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I apologize. We're doing this podcast away from home, away from HQ. But going back to again, Rice is what, the third offense, leading rushing offense in the conference at like 200 something yards per game. FAU's up there. I know UAB leads the conference, right? And, I think Rice is going to get a win against somebody, and I think that one's against UTSA. And again, if you've been following Rice, it's less and less surprising every week. You feel like they're going to go and do something like that. So, you know, this one, I'm going to go ahead and pick that one just right away, just right here on early in this week before even thinking too much about it. Again, North Texas at UTEP coming up, Old Dominion at FAU. I would have called this one a blowout, right? It's on Stadium, this one. It's at 4 p.m. on Saturday. But I think you got to look at Old Dominion and say, hey, they've been playing well. Maybe if this were, you know, in Hampton Roads, you know, you kind of think a little bit differently, but this one's on the road in Boca Raton. Maybe Old Dominion says, hey, we remembered how we got smacked around last time, and we want to rectify the situation. How about Southern Miss giving Auburn all it can handle? Number 10 Auburn, mind you. Auburn ended up kicking a field goal late that just kind of snuffed out any chance at even a miracle comeback, like a touchdown and a two-point conversion kind of thing. But Southern Miss hung in there. They played well. They gave Auburn a game. They did well for Conference USA. You got to feel proud about their performance. But still a loss. And, FIU 55, I said they're going to pick their score. They're going to get like 50 to something, and they got 55. Easy day there. FIU looks good sometimes, and then they just, you know, they drop a game, and you're like, what was that? What were you doing? 1-0 in conference, though. That's all that matters. And that was on the road also. Wake Forest beat Rice. That was ugly. Wake Forest was clearly the better team. And this isn't, I mean, Rice is, you know, they have the new coach and everything, so they're going to get that benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to go ahead and give it to them right now. Like, when they lose right here, I'm going to say, yeah, but, you know, they're still building up something. But when they give these teams a game, kind of like they did against Houston, then I'm going to praise them. That's going to be my bias right now, guys. And, because I like what they're doing. I think they're improving every week. I already thought they had some talent coming into the season. They just needed a new voice, and I think they're getting it. And, I mean, you can see they're implementing the things they want to do. And I really think they just need a quarterback out there. The guy now, he's serviceable, but if they can get a guy, even like was it stealing the guys they had last couple seasons, they get a guy like that to come in there and run that offense, I think that's going to be it. And yes, I know that is very cliche and generic to say, hey, if this guy gets a quarterback that's good, they're going to be good. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I think right now they're kind of getting held back by the quarterback play. And that's about it, guys. Let's cut this one relatively short. But let's give a shout out to a sponsor again, Lee's Coffee and Tea. That's in Laurel, Mississippi. Mention the podcast, right? Conference USA Report, and they'll give you a discount. I think it's I don't want to say the number because I forget what it is right now. Again, I'm on the road. I don't have my notes in front of me. I wrote this all down. But they'll give you a discount. Shout out, say, hey, you know, Adam from Conference USA Report sent me. I listened to the podcast. Please give me some tasty coffee for a little bit less than full price. Thanks again to Dell Smith. He's the owner of Lee's Coffee and Tea, for sponsoring the podcast. And if you and your fine business out there want to sponsor the podcast, let me know. You can get at us, podcast@conferenceusareport.com. That's CUSAreport.com. Hey, thanks again for listening, everybody. Leave a review on iTunes, and we'll see you next week.